You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns, so of all the X's and O's for your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. On the hotline, but here in the studio, Mr. Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer at clevelandbrowns.com. Andrew, you were taking a look at the free agency landscape at clevelandbrowns.com for the Browns and also the AFC North. How are things kind of shaking out in this division?
You know, I think that it's kind of a different story everywhere you go. I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals, maybe it's because they've had one of like the quietest off seasons I can think of with an NFL team right now. Like, I can't think of a big story that's come out of Cincinnati in the last couple months.
Just like Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, they have a ton of cap room, and they've apparently, you know, might be going the way that they don't usually go in free agency, and they might be spending some money on some of these guys. Jacoby Jones was there for a visit. He could potentially fit in there. I think they want to re-sign. It looks like they want to re-sign Ray Maluga. So they've got money to spend, whereas in Baltimore, they're scrapping just to get a couple million in the cap. They've had to cut a few guys. Canty, Jacoby Jones got cut there, so they only have about $4 million of cap space to work with at the moment. They could be making some more moves. And then something I didn't mention in that post, but that's kind of come up today with the Steelers, is a lot of Troy Polamalu talk.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's not.
Yeah.
They don't want him involved in with the team next year, but it's kind of, he's done so much for them that you don't want to, you know, force him out, kind of thing. So he's going to have to make that decision. But they made an interesting decision not to franchise Jason World, so he's going to be out on the free agent market. So a lot of different things going on, but I guess the Bengals and Browns are kind of in one boat with cap space, and then the Steelers and Ravens kind of on the other side there.
Now, Andrew, I'd like your personal perspective on the signing of Josh McCown. You know, do you think he's the week one starter? Do you feel like we're going to add you know, value and competition to that room, either via draft or another veteran at some point at a cheaper number to the Cleveland Browns quarterback room?
Yeah, I think he's a safe bet for that week one starting job. And like you guys said, there's so many circumstances that went into going 1-10 with the Buccaneers last year. And I think that the offensive line one was ranked 30th by Pro Football Focus in pass protection, and he was on his back a lot. And then, you know, in the middle of the season, he's dealing with thumb surgery. And then I think the Buccaneers, you know, I thought at the beginning of the season they were picked as a potential playoff team.
They
and I
were.
Think that it was one of those things where it just kind of, they lost a lot of games early, and then it just kind of steamrolled out of control. They played competitively. They had that one game where they were just absolutely blown out midway through the season. But other than that, they were a solid team. They beat the Steelers.
That's right.
You know, it's just one of those things where momentum can really just kind of pile in the wrong direction for a team. And I don't think anyone would pick the Buccaneers to do the same this year. I think they've got some pieces in place where they can be a lot better. So, you know, you look back at what McCown did during that stretch with the Bears, that's encouraging. And I think the fact that I think Browns fans should feel redeemed in the fact that the Browns weren't the only ones that wanted this guy. I think that they made the first move getting McCown, and now the Bills have had to go and make a trade to get a guy with like Matt Castle. And, you know, he's a guy that's been a backup a lot. As when he's started, he hasn't done so great. So, it's kind of an indictment on where the quarterback market is right now. So for what the market is right now, and then looking forward to the draft, you can add a player there to add some competition in the room, and maybe, you know, it's one of those things where you can potentially strike gold in the fourth or fifth round, like Seattle did with Russell Wilson, players like that, Tom Brady. So you've got some flexibility, and then looking forward to 2016, you don't put yourself in any corner because McCown is near the end of his career.
What do you think about the trade between the Bills and the Eagles that went down yesterday?
You know, I think this is a cop-out, but I like it for both sides. I think it makes sense because, you know, lost amid all the headlines of the Eagles yesterday with the McCoy thing was they also cut Kerry Williams and I think Trent Cole.
Trent Cole as well.
They're piling up a bunch of money.
$30 million they opened up
yesterday. Potentially make some moves. And now that Chip Kelly's kind of in control with padding his roster, he's going to build that thing specifically to suit his offense. And I thought McCoy would be a guy that could fit in there, but maybe he's seeing that big salary and realizing he could get two players that fit the offense.
Sure.
Instead of one. And then I like it for Buffalo because even though they have Sammy Watkins, you bring in Matt Castle, you're going to be a running team. And I think you pair him with Fred Jackson, I think that's a very good duo. I think he's better than C.J. Spiller, who they're going to lose. And McCoy stayed healthier than C.J. Spiller. So I think that's an upgrade. They just need to get better on the offensive line. But and Buffalo's pretty good on defense too. I think they showed they can be a good defense without Alonzo. So I like it from both sides. I don't know if this is necessarily an indictment on the running back position, which is a lot what people are skewing it to. I think it's more of a.
I
think it's more of an indictment on if you view a guy that has peaked, which we think. I think most of us think McCoy's best years are sort of behind him. He's now on the later part of his career. I think it's more of a thing with that, and also
I think you
salary.
Don't pay a running back,
which is so scary for a 26, almost 27-year-old that is on the downside of his career as a running back in the NFL.
No,
you don't pay a running back,
and that's and I guess that in turn, I'm making your own point for me that you can get so much more value out of a guy like Crow. You compare his salary to what LeSean McCoy's making, and you see what production you're probably going to get more production out of. Of McCoy, but is it worth that extra $10 million or whatever you're paying him?
Right, Andrew. We had the amazing opportunity to have John DeFilippo in studio yesterday to talk about his offense, and I'm sure you have listened and written about it. What was your just a few takeaways from John DeFilippo? Why it's going to be an encouraging year on offense in this new scheme?
Well, yeah, I just like the frank way he spoke about his offense. It was pretty straightforward, and I think that I don't think many people around here get excited enough about what the Browns have in terms of offensive line and running backs situation right now, where you can kind of look at the draft and almost, I wouldn't say eliminate the running back position from what you're looking to do, but you don't maybe circle that as a definite spot that needs to be addressed in the draft and free agency. And I thought the talk about maybe that fullback tight end thing is very interesting. You look at what he had in Oakland with Marcel Reese.
Sure.
You wonder if that now is a position they address in the draft, free agency, both. If they do get a guy who's played more fullback than tight end, or if they go with a guy who's played more tight end like a Charles Clay or someone like that. And I think that it was clear his words about Manziel, which is what are making all the headlines now. I think that was refreshing to hear. I think that that's the kind of stuff that it kind of maybe changes the narrative a little bit with Manziel, and you see what he can do in a second year. I think there is going to be a big challenge for Manziel learning another offense, but it sounds like DeFilippo is committed to drilling it in his head with every possible minute and hour of the day. So
that's right.
It'll be once Manziel comes back and we see kind of that refreshed perspective after his treatment, you combine that with DeFilippo and it looks more encouraging than maybe it was a couple months ago.
We haven't heard much about Justin Gilbert after he's left this offseason. The pitcher sprung up yesterday of he and Joe Hayden working out. Gilbert looking to be in fantastic shape. I know you guys wrote an article about that at clevelandbrowns.com. What's the latest there?
Well, I think being in shape really
wasn't an issue before with
Justin Gilbert. But I think the more encouraging aspect of that is that he's reaching out to a guy like Joe Hayden.
Yes.
I think that and working with him, Hayden – Hayden had a couple issues in his career too that he's learned from and used as building blocks moving forward. He had the suspension a couple years ago. He said, and that's really changed how he's approached everything. And I think that Hayden has reached that kind of pedestal on the team. Maybe not quite at the Joe Thomas level, but getting pretty close. And kind of the voice matters. You're kind of the commander of your position at that cornerback spot. So. I think it's a step in the right direction. I think Gilbert is another guy, though. It's, more actions than words at this point. This is an action. There's going to need – you need more actions going forward. But he's a player that, especially with the Buster Screen's free agency, he's a player that takes on some prime importance going forward. If Screen doesn't come back, you need a big step forward.
Well, I think they're saying that they believe in the guy they drafted, eighth overall last year, to be able to start this year opposite Joe Hayden in his second season, because I think that's the big question when you look at Buster Screen. If you're right about Justin Gilbert or even Dazeer, and they can start on the outside opposite Hayden, do you pay number two quarterback money long-term to Buster Screen to be your nickel when you've got Kaywan Williams on a cheaper deal? A lot of it's about economics, and would you make the case that Buster Screen's better than Kaywan? Sure, but is he $6 million better than Kaywan? And those are the questions that I think will be answered in free agency.
Yeah, it's just Screen is a good time to be Buster Screen on the market right now with being a cornerback. There's you look at the Eagles, they don't have any of their cornerbacks from last year anymore. That's a team that needs two cornerbacks. A team like the Redskins, they need cornerbacks. The draft class has a few good cornerbacks, but the fact that a guy like Marcus Peters from Washington is being talked up as one of the top cornerbacks, he got kicked off his team at Washington, and he is in that top group, shows it's not the best year for DBs in the draft. So if they think Justin Gilbert can make that big jump from year one to year two, which a lot of DBs have made, the first year is usually rough for a lot of DBs, maybe not as rough as it was for Justin Gilbert, but it's rough to an extent.
Sure.
If you see that jump from year one to year two, I don't say you offer less to Buster Screen, because I think the coaching staff here loves him. I think they've groomed him. He's their not finished product, but through the years that they've helped make him who he's become, it makes it – not as dire of a situation if you lose Screen, but then have a better Gilbert back in there.
Andrew, there's obviously the combine has come and went, and pro days will be starting. I know Ohio State has theirs, I believe, this Friday. Devin Smith is a guy, a wide receiver that can sneak his way into the first round and upgrade himself from a second round grade. Are there any other guys that are, rising up, their draft status as their pro days start to kind of, domino effect as we get into the closer to the draft?
Yeah, it depends on who you talk to with the value of pro days. Obviously everyone's talked about what happened with Teddy Bridgewater last year and how they can kind of get blown out of proportion. But the guy I saw that really I hadn't even seen in mock drafts, but then Todd McShay put him in there, was Kevin Johnson from Wake Forest.
The quarter.
Yeah, he put him at number 14 to Miami Dolphins, and I hadn't even seen him in anyone's first round. And I think that was a big one. I think that now you're starting to see pretty much everyone put Dante Fowler in that top five, top eight range. And then clearly Kevin White has kind of made that discussion
as
wide receiver.
Is he the number
one
guy?
Very interesting. And, yeah, so I think that, a couple months ago, I don't think any of us were talking about the possibility of getting Amari Cooper. And then all of a sudden now, it's not that Amari Cooper is doing anything wrong. It could break that he is available because the teams above the Browns don't need a wide receiver as much. I think a free agent to follow over the next few weeks, not because he's coming to the Browns, because I don't think he will, but Randall Cobb. If Randall Cobb goes to Oakland, that might change Oakland's strategy at that number four pick.
Absolutely.
So, that makes one less team that needs to use a big pick on a receiver. So that's good news. If the Browns don't get Randall Cobb, but he goes to Oakland, I think that's good news for the Browns.
Well, because it's interesting. If you pay him $12 million, as they're rumored to, he can't just be your slot receiver.
No.
He's got to be a guy that's playing every down for you. Now, would they want to get another guy with Cobb? So you have Cobb, Cooper or Kevin White and James Jones? Probably. So I would love it. Push those receivers down. Get one of them dust at 12.
I love Randall Cobb, but I don't know if you – I think the system in Green Bay was absolutely perfect for what he was doing. And then it's just you wonder where he fits in. You worry about the big money that Miami threw to, like, Mike Wallace a couple years ago and how that worked out.
Right. He should be in New England. He should be one of those he would be great in a lot of places. Is he going to be as good as he was in Green Bay? No, that was pretty much the perfect spot for him. But the market's going to dictate to him. He's going to go elsewhere because you got to get that dollar in the NFL when you can.
I don't blame any of these guys one bit because you can get cut any moment. You can be Troy Polamalu, one of the better players at his position in the last 20 or 30 years, and your team that you've played for so many years is being like, hey,
could you
leave?
Please retire for us already? Did that ever happen on any of your teams where they asked a veteran to, hey, would you mind hanging them up for us?
That talk was happening, with LaDainian Tomlinson, in San Diego. They were going to cut him, but for what he had done for the resurgence in San Diego, they gave him an opportunity to, again, ultimately they did release him. But LT in his mind was not done.
He went to
the Jets. Played well for that one season,
and
kind of diminished in his second year in New York. But he was a guy that they had that conversation with, but just still wasn't ready to hang it up. And also too, came with a significant number. I believe LT's number was probably $8 million or above at that point. And that's 6-7 years ago,
which was a lot of money. Andrew, appreciate the time. Certainly another interesting day around the NFL. Matt Cassel going to the Buffalo Bills. The Bills very active, making a lot of trades, wheeling and dealing. The quarterback market looking very, very interesting. You wonder where Brian Hoyer has a chance to land now. If he wants to compete, maybe the Jets, maybe the Texans, depending on what happens there. Or as Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk said, perhaps he goes to Minnesota, backs up Teddy Bridgewater, gets reunited with Norv Turner. Interesting around the league here as we approach free agency. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble. Check out all his great work. Prolific he is at producing content for ClevelandBrowns.com alongside his counterpart, Mr. Kevin Jones. Andrew, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, not a problem, guys.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get those phones, 216-578-0850, and we'll hit up the mailbag as well. It's Mailbag Wednesday, so tweet your questions. Use the hashtag mailbag. You've got a bunch of them in already. Get some more of them at Browns_Daily, at MattWilhelm35, at Nathan Zagura. We'll get to those when we come back on CBD here on ESPN 850 WKNR.